I'm excited to finally share some of the conversations that we had at our first ever Trapital Summit. I'm Dan Runcie, the founder and host of Trapital, and on this episode, you're going to hear the fireside chat that I had with the founder and CEO of Empire, Ghazi. Ghazi's based here in San Francisco, so it's been great to get to know him and his business a little bit better over the past couple of years. And 2024 has been a big year for Empire. The record label is behind the biggest song of the year on the Billboard charts. That's Shaboozy's A Bar Song, Tipsy. But Empire is known for plenty of other hits too, like Fat Joe's All The Way Up or Tyga's Taste. This is a record label that may be known for hip-hop, but has been expanding the genres. And as independent music has evolved over the years, we've continued to see that growth as well. And in this chat, Ghazi and I talk about the future of Empire, whether or not anyone has ever tried to acquire Empire, his leadership, his drive, and a whole lot more. Really dope conversation. Let's dive in. Ghazi, everyone else got to pick their walkout song. You did not, because I told you, we have to come out to this song. This song, Shaboozy Tipsy, has been the number one song in the country for 12 straight weeks. How does that feel?
I would say thank you for picking the record out, because I probably would have picked out an obscure street rap record to walk out to, because it just fits my vibe. But honestly, it's very surreal because it's all the things that we've been talking about for like since the beginning of the company, that at some point in time we would build a company where you could put somebody at the heart and center of the operation and it would all make sense. It's very gratifying and very surreal.
And you mentioning a street rap record, I think speaks very true to everything you've done with Empire to this date. But did you think that one of the biggest songs you would have been a country joint?
I didn't think that it wouldn't be. You know, we set forth into Nashville like 5 years ago, and we knew at some point we would find a star. And pretty much every genre that we've set out to do something special in, we found a star. So whether it was Latin or rap, R&B, now country, Africa, so on and so forth. So I think a lot of it just has to do with just having the right taste, your thumb on the pulse of the culture and understanding where trends are headed.
And I think a lot of it too speaks to the evolution of Empire, because you started this business around 14, almost 15 years ago now, and music was in a very different place than it is right now. Independence was looked at very differently, but what worked for you all is that you came through and you were always able to see just one step ahead and willing to offer what other companies didn't. And I feel like that has carried through for you with each stage of the business and likely helped you with whether it's Shaboozy or some of the other artists that you've had that have been successful, having an ear to the ground. And knowing you, I know you like to be close to the music, close to the artistic process. And I have to imagine that that helps circle everything through and help you maintain that edge.
Yeah, somebody gave me a great analogy recently. They said, you got to fly high and dive deep. And I think I embody the spirit of that statement. I got to fly high and run the company from a macro level, whether that's finance or legal or, you know, the commerce, dealing with foreign tax and compliance and all those types of issues. But then at the same token, I'm in the studio till 3 a.m. making records. I'm in townships in Soweto and South Africa. I hung out in Cambodia for a couple of days by myself and met with a local hip hop label there. So you got to be able to go deep and remember that everything that we do is related to culture. Music at the central core of what it is culture. You know, there's three predominant segments of culture in the world, and that's like food, music, and sports. Those are things that I spend a lot of time immersing myself. We live in an age of technology, data, and analytics, and that's great. I love all that because I'm very much a technology type of person, but at the heart and soul of it, you can't forget the culture multiplier. I call it a culture multiplier. That's something that doesn't show up on a spreadsheet, by the way. You gotta have that shit inside of you. You feel me? So it's just a different way of looking at things.
That's an interesting concept. Let's talk about that, the culture multiplier, because I assume that probably has influence on what cultures you decide to invest in, or you decide to invest energy in, I should say, because you all had an earlier focus in Nigeria. You mentioned Cambodia. How do you determine which countries to focus on or which countries to dive into? Does that tap back into that?
It's a combination of things. You have to look at, from the culture side, you're looking at, is it relatable to the essence and the spirit of what I've built as a company? If you can answer that question and say yes, then the next question is, what does monetization look like in that territory? What is the size of the audience? You know, what are the age demographics? What are the consumption habits? What do the telcos look like? What do the DSP bundles look like? Is data free in that market or is data expensive? So you just kind of start to look at all these other things, and then you kind of overlay it all together by a factor of the culture. And then you just kind of make it all make sense. A lot of times you look at a lot of labels and they might sign an artist for a particular record, and you're like, you signed the wrong artist because you didn't understand the record. You should have signed the artist that was on the hook, not the artist that was on the verse. Kind of fucked up. And so we've seen that happen so many times over the years because people are purely looking at the analytics and not understanding what's driving the music. So you kind of got to go where it's at. And a lot of times you see the leadership of companies get so detached from what's going on that they're relying on second and third hand information. So you send an A&R over there and the A&R comes back and tells you what they think, but you're not actually at the source. Obviously, as a sole human being, you can't be everywhere all the time, but you got to do it to the best of your ability. If you really love the music that much, then you got to go see where it's born at. You got to understand the whole texture of it. Because every place does it a little different.
And I imagine for you, a lot of that must be tough because you're describing a very hands-on approach, but you're running a company. You want to have people that you can trust to do that, but you still got to go out there and do it yourself eventually.
Well, I mean, the same way I try to put artists at the center of the company and at the center of everything that's going on, me, myself, I have to be at the center. In parallel to the artist and in parallel to our partners, whether it's on the DSP side, the artist side. Sometimes I'm meeting with like people from foreign governments, you know, Ministry of Culture, so on and so forth. And you're just trying to figure it all out. But if you stay at the center, the chances of you catching what's going on is going to be exponentially higher because you're at the center of everything that's happening, not sitting in a glass tower relying on third hand information.
And I can see that being especially important in a region like Nigeria. Because you mentioned the telcos earlier. Anyone that's investing in the space needs to understand, what is the consumer behavior? How do they listen to music? How is it consumed? How do they use cell phones? How do they use mobile technology? And there's certain things that, sure, you can read through a press release, but you also need to go there and meet the people. You need to do all that stuff. So, and I know it's expensive and timely to fly back and forth, but we've also seen other companies in the space announced they start record labels and then they pull back those same record labels in regions where you all still have activity. So I have to imagine that that's part of it too, being able to dig deep.
Yeah, a big part of that is us touching the ground ourselves, going out there and really touching the people and touching the ground, and then hiring people locally in the market that understand that market. I think it's a very imperialistic approach to go someplace and try to instill your way of thinking. You have to go in and you have to find a happy medium where you say, this is the way I do business. This is the way things move locally. Let's empower people locally to come be a part of our operation. But it's really important for me to always foster and grow things locally. I think paying homage to the culture, the society, the country, the language, all the different things that happen locally are really important to me. And I think they've translated very well for us because then the people locally become your own champions, right? Because they say, hey, these people came in with a certain nuance and a certain level of respect for our territory, and we want to rock with them. Showing up, it's a big deal to people when they're like, hey, man, this guy jumped on a plane and flew halfway across the world to come spend time with us. I do that pretty regularly. I've been in 8 countries in the last like 25 days.
When do you sleep?
Planes. I was in Paris last night. So I jumped on a plane from Paris, went and saw my kids in San Francisco for a couple hours, picked them up from school, and then jumped on a plane, came down here to be ready for this. A lot of it also has to do with how bad do you want it? You know, like I don't have a complacent bone in my body. I got the biggest record in the world. I'm not thinking about that. Let the staff worry about that. I got to figure out what's next. You know, how do I stay ahead of the curve?
Are there things you do to make sure you're staying ahead of the curve?
I don't know, man. That's hard for me to say. I just think I have a curiosity that doesn't rest. I'm always consuming information, running through my phone, whether it's like scientific information on popular mechanics or something as simple as just scrolling through Instagram, but I'm just always consuming things. I think I'm in a position in life now where I'm really at peace with who I am as a human. And I just really love living my purpose every day and doing what I feel like I was born to do, which is use music as a medium to perpetuate change and continue to plant seeds all over the world. So it's kind of like a philanthropic approach to music. I can't really explain it. It's just something that I wake up and want to do every single day. It never really gets stale to me.
I think your superpower is that you're on. You're always on in a good way. You are paying attention to trends, even some of the conversations we're having in the back, like all of those things help think about, okay, how are you always thinking about what's next? How are you always thinking about what's ahead? Where does that drive come from?
Man, I was just born that way. My mom said, she told me I was 3 years old. She took me to JCPenney. She went in the fitting room. She came out and I had took the whole table apart and handed her a whole bunch of bolts. I've just always had like this affinity to explore and just figure out how things work. I bought a tape deck from the flea market when I was like 5 years old because I was fascinated that one tape could record to another tape. I took the whole thing apart, put it back together at 5 years old. My parents didn't understand what the hell I was doing. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But in hindsight, as you get older, you start to look back at some of the things you did with maybe a more clear lens. And you say, I've kind of always had this itch and this scratch to just want to know how things work, whether it's the music business or computers or quantum computing, physics, it doesn't matter. I just like knowing how things work. And the clearer that picture crystallizes, then you kind of can build your template of what you want to do based on what you've experienced in life. So I think wisdom is something that's very underrated.
Let's take a break for our Chartmetric stat of the week. After a scandalous lip sync legacy that left its mark on Milli Vanilli, the 80s R&B duo is back and hotter than ever. Thanks to the popular Netflix series Monster, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story, which includes a few songs from Milli Vanilli, the group's catalog is streaming better than ever. It is blowing up on TikTok, where the group's followers have grown over 43% in the past month. And if you remember from our Clive Davis episode, this was one of his tracks from the Arista days. It all comes full circle. Let's get back to the episode. Going back to Empire a bit, and given the rise of independent music, you've definitely been a spearhead for that. And I think you've seen the rise of that grow as the rise of your business has grown as well. How is the conversation around Empire for you or even other people you've talked to shifted in that time when, of course, when you started the company, independent in the share that they had was much smaller than it is today. And now you, thanks to you and several other companies, have helped increase that share that isn't just at the major level.
I don't think it's shifted how I approach the company. I think I've shifted the market into how they should approach things. And I don't mean that in any arrogant way. I'm just one of those people that puts my head down and work. I don't really care what anybody else got going on. My greatest gift on the planet is my autonomy. So waking up every morning with an idea and having an amazing group of people around me to be able to execute those ideas is probably the greatest gift on the planet for me personally, and how I steer the ship, because you have the ability to make mistakes. And that's such a gratifying feeling, because in other organizations that I've worked in, making mistakes can get you fired or vilified. In my company, making mistakes creates a Rolodex of wisdom, and it allows you to grow as a human and figure things out. So I always tell the people around me, I'd rather you fuck up trying to be great than just not make a mistake and be average. How do we go to the next level doing that? You can't push the envelope that way. So if you want to land at a 7, you better aim for a 10. You aim for a 7, you're going to end up at a 5. I try to be very pragmatic and practical in a lot of my approaches. I think you get better results with that. So, but the greatest thing on the planet is just having that autonomy and that ability to just go out there every day and try new things. And it's not always going to work out, and that's okay. But can you draw wisdom from that? Can you draw ideas that maybe help you go to the next level, to evolve to the next level, where you say, okay, this didn't work. I went left. Maybe I should have went a little right. Okay, cool. Now I figured it out. The answer is somewhere in the middle. So a lot of things I try to approach with a very practical approach. Some of it is not that practical. We're very much a software company too. So I spend a lot of my time building software, like the accounting system, supply chain, different things that we're doing with crypto and ACH rails and real-time payments and all this other stuff that we're doing to try to stay ahead of the curve in payments. Some of that stuff is not rooted in trial and error. Some of that stuff is more mathematical approach, but it's kind of a mix of the two, you know?
Speaking about Empire specifically, I know you're a sports fan. Let's play a quick game of over-under, because I know that you run a music company that has done well from a business perspective, and many companies that are your peers in this space are getting acquired, they're raising money, and you've ran a lot of this without doing a lot of those things. But I could also imagine that it's a very attractive business that a lot of other people see. So over under 4 requests in the past 12 months, have you gotten phone calls from people trying to poke in and see if they can either invest or acquire Empire?
I haven't gotten any phone calls.
Really?
Mm-mm.
No one tries to acquire Empire?
No, because everybody knows I'm not for sale, period. Like, I'm living my purpose. There's no price on that. I'm one of the very few people that I don't give a shit about money. For me personally, I care about the money that I get to share with other people and the livelihood that I get to create. I used to tell people when I started Empire, I want to be the Robin Hood of the music business. And I think that I've really stuck to my principles. But people will always poke around, but it just never gets to me. Because I tell people, if this ever gets to you, just shut it down, because I'm not interested.
I knew that. I knew you would always say no. I was always wondering, okay, they're going to find some way to ask him, but...
I mean, there's been articles floating out there and all kind of nonsense that had nothing to do with me, but I'm just saying it like flat out, like no. So people will try to, you know, dangle things out there to see if there's any interest. There's been articles that float around and then they call into the company the next day and they come to me and I'm like, can you just please just tell them, stop. Like, we got to keep our eyes on the prize. We're building something really special. We're helping thousands of people. We've created microeconomies all across this planet we call Earth. And for me, there's nothing more like special than that. My family's refugees of war. So fast forward many years later, and I get to build a company to help disenfranchise people in countries that were like formerly colonized, and we get to come in and do it the right way. It's just, man, this shit is way deeper than music at this point. So that can't be for sale.
I have to imagine that you probably find that there's not as many people that are on your similar wavelength, because you have this clear focus on, again, not cared about the money doing this, and so many others are thinking differently. And not saying that one is wrong or right in any way, but I have to imagine that you see that as an advantage in terms of how you've built Empire.
I tell people all the time, when you come from nothing, you appreciate everything. I lived in 350 square feet. So you can't really put your thumb on that. You know, it's hard to explain when it's just in your DNA. And look, I don't ever fault other companies for doing business the way they do business. There's nothing wrong with venture capitalism. There's nothing wrong with private equity. There's nothing wrong with raising money. There's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just not my wave. It's not my lane. And I think beyond autonomy, the thing that's birthed from autonomy is continuity. And so the thing that's made Empire extremely successful is the continuity of the staff, the continuity of the relationship with the artists. You do a deal with us, you're probably going to have the same A&R, more than likely going to have the same product manager. Me, Tina, Nima, Mike, like, we've been together for a long time. So when you're together for that long, you create a certain chemistry amongst one another that's really special. I did something the other day. Tina was out for a couple months. She was dealing with something, bereavement. Her mother had passed away. I had hired somebody for her department without telling her. And I forgot to tell her. And she was like, how did this happen? I called her, and I don't have no ego. I called her. I said, I apologize. I should have told you, but I thought it was a good move for us. I made this move while you were out. She was like, I love you. Anything for you, right? And she means it. We really got each other's back. You can't develop that type of energy without that level of continuity, right? And there's no board of directors. There's no shareholders. So there's nobody coming in and trying to leverage relationships between people. You look at the greatest franchises in the NBA or NFL or whatever, there's always continuity amongst the players. San Antonio Spurs, the Golden State Warriors, so on and so forth. The nucleus stays together. So when you keep that nucleus together, the chances for infinite and repetitive success are exponentially higher.
And on that note, before we close things out, because you mentioned sports, you and I both live in San Francisco. We got some big sporting events coming up, and I know that Empire is likely going to want to be active in there. We got All-Star in February, Super Bowl the year after that, World Cup. What does your ideal involvement look like?
We're doing a ton of activations for NBA All-Star, so I would encourage everybody here. I would love to see y'all in San Francisco. We're doing a capsule with the NBA, like a merch capsule. We're doing a big vinyl box set in conjunction with the NBA and 2K. We're doing a couple seasons in the game, 2K. We'll be doing a lot of activations at our studio. Kenny Smith is a good friend of mine. We're doing a big party with Kenny Smith. And part of it is a charity event with poker involved and stuff. So it'll just be a lot of stuff going on in San Francisco at that time period, which will be a very proud moment for me, because we'll also be celebrating 15 years of Empire. So, you know, just being able to do something you love for 15 years, day in, day out, is an accomplishment in itself. And I hope all the people around me get to experience the same type of gratification in their careers, because it's, you know, when you put your heart and soul into something and then you watch it come to fruition, there's no greater feeling.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ghazi, thank you.
Appreciate it, everybody. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. send it to one or two people you think would really get value out of listening to this episode. And while you're at it, if you could rate and review the show, that would be great. Rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate the podcast on Spotify, rate the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps make sure that the word gets out about Trapital and what we're building here. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you next time.